television addiction is no mere metaphor by Robert Kuby and Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. Excessive cravings do not necessarily involve physical substances. Gambling can become compulsive, sex can become obsessive. One activity, however, stands out for its prominence and ubiquity. The world's most popular leisure pastime, television. Most people admit to having a love-hate relationship with it. They complain about the boob tube and couch potatoes, then they settle into their sofas and grab the remote control. Parents commonly fret about their children's viewing if not their own. Even researchers who study TV for a living marvel at the medium's hold on them personally. Percy Tannenbaum of the University of California at Berkeley has written, "Among life's more embarrassing moments have been countless occasions when I am engaged in conversation in a room while a TV set is on, and I cannot for the life of me stop from periodically glancing over to the screen. This occurs not only during dull conversations, but during reasonably interesting ones just as well." Scientists have been studying the effects of television for decades, generally focusing on whether watching violence on TV correlates with being violent in real life. See The Effects of Observing Violence by Leonard Berkowitz, Scientific American, February 1964, and Communication and Social Environment by George Gerbner, September 1972. Less attention has been paid to the basic allure of the small screen. The medium, as opposed to the message. The term TV addiction is imprecise and laden with value judgments, but it captures the essence of a very real phenomenon. Psychologists and psychiatrists formally define substance dependence as a disorder characterized by criteria that include spending a great deal of time using the substance, using it more often than one intends, thinking about reducing use, or making repeated unsuccessful efforts to reduce use, giving up important social, family, or occupational activities to use it, and reporting withdrawal symptoms when one stops using it. All these criteria can apply to people who watch a lot of television. That does not mean that watching television, per se, is problematic. Television can teach and amuse, it can reach aesthetic heights. Respondents, and 7 out of 10 teenagers said they spent too much time watching TV. Other surveys have consistently shown that roughly 10% of adults call themselves TV addicts. To study people's reactions to TV, researchers have undertaken laboratory experiments in which they have monitored the brain waves using an electroencephalograph, or EEG, scan resistance or heart rate of people watching television. To track behavior and EMO, most of the criteria of substance dependence can apply to people who watch a lot of TV. It can provide much-needed distraction and escape. The difficulty arises when people strongly sense that they ought not to watch as much as they do, and yet find themselves strangely unable to reduce their viewing. Some knowledge of how the medium exerts its pull may help heavy viewers gain better control over their lives. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. The amount of time people spend watching television is astonishing. On average, individuals in the industrialized world devote 3 hours a day to the pursuit, fully half of their leisure time, and more than on any single activity save work and sleep. At this rate, someone who lives to 75 would spend 9 years in front of the tube. To some commentators, this devotion means simply that people enjoy TV and make a conscious decision to watch it. But if that is the whole story, why do so many people experience misgivings about how much they view? In Gallup polls in 1992 and 1999, 2 out of 5 adult recipients in the normal course of life, as opposed to the artificial conditions of the lab, we have used the experience sampling method ESM. Participants carried a beeper, and we signaled them 6 to 8 times a day, at random, over the period of a week. Whenever they heard the beep, they wrote down what they were doing and how they were feeling using a standardized scorecard. As one might expect, people who were watching TV when we beeped them reported feeling relaxed and passive. The EEG studies similarly show less mental stimulation, as measured by alpha brainwave production, during viewing than during reading. What is more surprising is that the sense of relaxation ends when the set is turned off, but the feelings of passivity and lowered alertness continue. Survey participants commonly reflect that television has somehow absorbed or sucked out their energy, leaving them depleted. They say they have more difficulty concentrating after viewing than before. In contrast, they rarely indicate such difficulty after reading. After playing sports or engaging in hobbies, people report improvements in mood. After watching TV, people's moods are about the same or worse than before. Within moments of sitting or lying down and pushing the power button, viewers report feeling more relaxed. Because the relaxation occurs quickly, people are conditioned to associate viewing with rest and lack of tension. The association is positively reinforced because viewers remain relaxed throughout viewing, and it is negatively reinforced via the stress and dysphoric rumination that occurs once the screen goes blank again. Habit-forming drugs work in similar ways. A tranquilizer that leaves the body rapidly is much more likely to cause dependence than one that leaves the body www.siam.com slowly, precisely, because the user is more aware that the drug's effects are wearing off. Similarly, viewers' vague learned sense that they will feel less relaxed if they stop viewing may be a significant factor in not turning the set off. Viewing begets more viewing. Thus, the irony of TV, people watch a great deal longer than they plan to, even though prolonged viewing is less rewarding. In our ESM studies, the longer people sat in front of the set, the less satisfaction they said they derived from it. When signaled, heavy viewers, those who consistently watch more than 4 hours a day, tended to report on their ESM sheets that they enjoyed TV less than light viewers did less than 2 hours a day. For some, a twinge of unease or guilt that they aren't doing something more productive may also accompany and appreciate the enjoyment of prolonged viewing. Researchers in Japan, the UK, and the US have found that this guilt occurs much more among middle-class viewers than among less affluent ones. Grabbing your attention, what is it about TV that has such a hold on us? In part, the attraction seems to spring from our biological orienting response. First described by Ivan Pavlov in 1927, the orienting response is our instinctive visual or auditory reaction to any sudden or novel stimulus. It is part of our evolutionary heritage, a built-in sensitivity to movement and potential predatory threats. Typical orienting reactions include dilation of the blood vessels to the brain, slowing of the heart, and constriction of blood vessels to major muscle groups. Alpha waves are blocked for a few seconds before returning to their baseline level, which is determined by the general level of mental arousal. The brain focuses its attention on gathering more information, while the rest of the body quiets. In 1986, Byron Reeves of Stanford University, Esther Thorson of the University of Missouri, and their colleagues began to study whether the simple formal features of television cuts, edits, zooms, pans, sudden noises activate the orienting response, thereby keeping attention on the screen. By watching how brain waves were affected by formal features, the researchers concluded that these stylistic tricks can indeed trigger involuntary responses and derive their attentional value through the evolutionary significance of detecting movement. It is the form, not the content, of television that is unique. The orienting response may partly explain common viewer remarks such as, if a television is on, I just can't keep my eyes off it, I don't want to watch as much as I do, but I can't help it, and I feel hypnotized when I watch television. In the years since Reeves and Thorson published their pioneering work, researchers have delved deeper. Annie Lang's research team at Indiana University has shown that heart rate decreases for 4 to 6 seconds after an orienting stimulus. In ads, action sequences and music videos, formal features frequently come at a rate of 1 per second, thus activating the orienting response continuously. Lang and her colleagues have also investigated whether formal features affect people's memory of what they have seen. In one of their studies, participants watched a program and then filled out a score sheet. Increasing the frequency of edits defined here as a change from one camera angle to another in the same visual scene improved memory recognition, presumably because it focused attention on the screen. Increasing the frequency of cuts changes to a new visual scene had a similar effect, but only up to a point. If the number of cuts exceeded 10 in 2 minutes, recognition dropped off sharply. Producers of educational television for children have found that formal features can help learning. But increasing the rate of cuts and edits eventually overloads the brain. Music videos and commercials that use rapid intercutting of unrelated scenes are designed to hold attention more than they are to convey information. People may remember the name of the product or band, but the details of the ad itself float in one ear and out the other. The orienting response is overworked. Viewers still attend to the screen, but they feel tired and worn out, with little compensating psychological reward. Our ESM findings show much the same thing. Sometimes the memory of the product is very subtle. Many ads today are deliberately oblique. They have an engaging storyline, but it is hard to tell. 78 Scientific American, February 2002, copyright 2002, Scientific American, Inc. What they are trying to sell. After word tracted and have poorer attentional calm, you may not remember the product TROL than the non-addicts. The addicts said consciously. Yet advertisers believe that they use TV to distract themselves from if they have gotten your attention, when unpleasant thoughts, and to fill time. You later go to the store, you will feel other studies over the years have shown better or more comfortable with a given that heavy viewers are less likely to par product, because you have a vague recall to participate in community activities and lection of having heard of it. Sports and are more likely to be obese, the natural attraction to televisions, than moderate viewers or non-viewers. Sound and light starts very early in life. The question that naturally arises is, Daphne Lemish of Tel Aviv University has, in which direction does the correlation described babies at 6 to 8 weeks go? Do people turn to TV because of attending to television? We have OB boredom and loneliness, or does TV serve slightly older infants, who, when viewing, make people more susceptible to lying on their backs on the floor, crane boredom and loneliness? We and most their necks around 180 degrees, to catch other researchers argue that the former is television stylistic tricks, cuts, edits, zooms can trigger involuntary responses. What light through yonder window generally the case, but it is not as simple breaks. This inclination suggests how case of either slash or Jerome L. and Dorothy deeply rooted the orienting responses. Singer of Yale University, among others, have suggested that more viewing may TV as part of them contribute to a shorter attention span. That said, we need to be careful, diminish self-restraint, and less paw about overreacting. Little evidence SUG tie-ins with the normal delays of daily jests that adults or children should stop life. More than 25 years ago, psycholo-matching TV altogether. The problems just Anna Sim Macbeth Williams of the come from heavy or prolonged viewing. University of British Columbia study of the experience sampling method mountain community that had no televisor permitted us to look closely at most SIO and until cable finally arrived. Over every domain of everyday life, working, time, both adults and children in the eating, reading, talking to friends, plate down became less creative in problem-ing a sport, and so on. We wondered solving. Less able to persevere at tasks, whether heavy viewers might experience, and less tolerant of unstructured time. Life differently than light viewers do. Due to some researchers, the most common they dislike being with people more. Vincing parallel between TV and addict, are they more alienated from work? TIVE drugs is that people experience what we found nearly leaped off the withdrawal symptoms when they cut page at us. Heavy viewers report feeling back on viewing. Nearly 40 years ago, significantly more anxious and less happy Gary A. Steiner of the University of PY than light viewers do in unstructured Chicago collected fascinating individual situations, such as doing nothing, day accounts of families whose set had bro dreaming, or waiting in line. The differ Kenneth back in the days, when how scenes widens when the viewer is alone. Holds generally had only one set, the subsequently, Robert D. McElrath family walked around like a chicken of the University of Manitoba extensively without a head. It was terrible. We did study those who call themselves TV nothing, my husband, and I talked. Addicts on surveys. On a measure called screamed constantly. children both the short imaginal processes inventory of me, and my nerves were on edge. SIPI, he found that the self-described tried to interest them in games, but ematics are more easily bored and dispossible. Tedious part of them. In experiments, some elite have volunteered or been paid to stop viewing, typically for a week or a month. Many could not complete the period of abstinence. Some fought, verbally and physically. Anecdotal reports from some families that have tried the annual TV turn-off week in the U.S. tell a similar story. If a family has been spending the lion's share of its free time watching television, reconfiguring itself around a new set of activities is no easy task. Of course, that does not mean it cannot be done, or that all families implode when deprived of their set. In a review of these cold turkey studies, Charles Winnick of the City University of New York concluded, the first 3 or 4 days for most persons were the worst, even in many homes where viewing was minimal and where there were other ongoing activities. In over half of all the households, during these first few days of loss, the regular routines were disrupted, family members had difficulties in dealing with the newly available time, anxiety and aggressions were expressed. People living alone tended to be bored and irritated. By the second week, a move toward adaptation to the situation was common. Unfortunately, researchers have yet to flesh out these anecdotes. No one has systematically gathered statistics on the prevalence of these withdrawal symptoms. Even though TV does seem to meet the criteria for substance dependence, not all researchers would go so far as to call TV addictive. McElrath said in 1998 that displacement of other activities by television may be socially significant, but still falls short of the clinical requirement of significant impairment. More to explore, he argued that a new category of TV addiction may not be necessary if heavy viewing stems from conditions such as depression and social phobia. Nevertheless, whether or not we formally diagnose someone as TV dependent, millions of people sense that they cannot readily control the amount of television they watch. Slave to the computer screen. Although much less research has been done on video games and computer use, the same principles often apply. Children were rushed to the hospital, many suffering from optically stimulated epileptic seizures caused by viewing bright flashing lights, in a poem on video game broadcast on Japanese TV. Seizures and other untoward effects of video games are significant enough that software companies and platform manufacturers now routinely include warnings in their instruction booklets. Parents have reported to us that rapid movement on the screen has caused motion sickness in their young children after just 15 minutes of play. Many heavy viewers report feeling significantly more anxious and less happy than light viewers do. The games offer escape and distraction. Players quickly learn that they feel better when playing, and so a kind of reinforcement loop develops. The obvious difference from television, however, is the interactivity. Many video and computer games minutely increase in difficulty along with the increasing ability of the player. One can search for months to find another tennis or chess player of comparable ability, but program games can immediately provide a near-perfect match of challenge to skill. They offer the psychic pleasure what one of us seeks on Miali has called flow. That accompanies increased mastery of most any human endeavor. On the other hand, prolonged activation of the orienting response can wear players out. Kids report feeling tired, dizzy and nauseated after long sessions. In 1997, in the most extreme medium effects case on record, 700 Japanese youngsters, lacking self-control and experience, and often supervision, continue to play despite these symptoms. Lang and Shai and Sundar of Pennsylvania State University have been studying how people respond to websites. Sundar has shown people multiple versions of the same web page, identical except for the number of links. Users reported that more links conferred a greater sense of control and engagement. At some point, however, the number of links reached saturation, and adding more of them simply turned people off. As with video games, the ability of websites to hold their users' attention seems to depend less on formal features than on interactivity. For growing numbers of people, the life they lead online may often seem more important more immediate and more intense than the life they lead face to face. Maintaining control over one's media habits is more of a challenge today than it had ever been. TV sets and computers are everywhere. But the small screen and the internet need not interfere with the quality of the rest of one's life. In its easy provision of relaxation and escape, television can be beneficial in limited doses. Yet when the habit interferes with the ability to grow, to learn new things, to lead an active life, then it does constitute a kind of dependence, and should be taken seriously.